In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. This is the leave-taking of Ascension. So we celebrated liturgy today, and the leave-taking is a little bit different than the feast itself. There's some things repeated, but the daily reading is read. And we're reading in St. John during the Paschal period. And at this point in time, we read something from chapter 17, which is the high priestly prayer. And I wanted to tell you something. I actually didn't record the sermon because I didn't really think I was going to speak, and then I did. So I'm going to basically try to repeat myself a little bit. What is life all about? It's about becoming one, isn't it? Becoming one with God. Becoming one with ourselves. We're not one with ourselves. Let's be honest with one another. You're not one with yourself. You go one way and then the other way. You go up and you go down. Sometimes you're irritable. Sometimes you're in a good mood. Sometimes you're kind to people, sometimes you're not kind. Sometimes you pray, sometimes you're lazy. So we're not one with ourselves. We're strange, sort of, to not use the term correctly, but schizophrenic, right? To use the colloquial way of saying schizophrenic. We're just different all the time. That's not Christianity. That's not what the point is of having eternal, of having human life that becomes eternal life. We are to become one. So the Lord spoke in his high priestly prayer about becoming one with the Father. He stated emphatically that he was one with the Father. He wanted us to be one with God. Let me read it to you and then maybe give a little different emphasis to it. Of course, theologically, in the high priestly prayer, he was very much speaking of his relationship with the Father is that he's one with God because he is God. And he's also man. And St. John is full of all these kinds of very beautiful theological phrases. Only in St. John, nowhere else in the scriptures, does it speak of the person of Jesus Christ like this. So let's read it, but then let's kind of give it a little different, I don't want to say twist, but sort of a little different emphasis. Because if we're going to be one with God, we got to be one with ourselves. So here it is. Even as thou didst send me forth into the world, I also sent them forth into the world. And on behalf of them, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified in truth. And I do make not one request for these only, but also for those who shall believe on me through their word. This is what I really wanted to read. In order that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and they may also be one in us, that the world might believe that thou didst send me forth, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, in order that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, and they may be perfected into one. That's describing salvation. That's describing the whole purpose of your life. In fact, the reason you were created for this, to be one. Not to be many, but to be one. Not to have many, shall we say, personalities. Ways of approaching things, ways of thinking, one way of thinking, the right way of thinking, the good way of thinking. Now, I'm not an expert at the Slavonic language by any means, but there's a beautiful word about chastity, and I won't try to pronounce it. I'm really bad at pronouncing it. But in America, you know, English chastity always has a sexual connotation. But in Slavonic, it doesn't have a sexual connotation per se. It's about completeness. It's about being self-sufficient, integrated, whole, wholeness. That's what we're called to. We're called to wholeness. We should be pursuing wholeness. That's what we need. The world is so fragmented now. You can see it, can't you? How fragmented it is. The pandemic has really brought this out. We have hierarchs that are not acting like hierarchs. They're acting like wolves. They say they're acting for the good of their people, but they're saying things that are worldly and that are fragmented. We need hierarchs and priests and everybody to live according to their purpose, which is to be one. What would our life be like if the pastors were preaching in this way, that we should be pursuing oneness with God, and therefore we should be repenting, and we should be putting off things that are evil, we should struggle to cleave to things that are good, that the whole purpose of our life is to be one with God, and that all of these other ancillary things, they're just distractions, or worse. If there was that kind of preaching, can you imagine? But we don't see that kind of preaching very often. We see worldly and foolish things. I recall something that happened, I think it was last week. If we had the strength, this hierarch would be removed from office, or he would be told, you become like a novice, live in a monastery, and actually learn about Christianity. He went to St. Bartholomew's, an Episcopal church, and just spoke nonsense words about ecumenism and everything else, but never mentioned anything about repentance, never mentioned anything about that we are to be one with God. None of those things. You're not going to hear that stuff in ecumenical talk. And you can't really talk too much about morality in St. Bart's, right? Because they're all about LGBTQ. These hierarchs walked past a gay pride flag that had been blessed at the beginning of Pride Month. Now, do these people really understand what they're doing here? They're saying Pride Month. We're proud of our sexual excesses. And even if you have sexual excesses, should you be proud of them? And even if you don't have them, should you be proud? I mean, to say that you're proud, Pride Month, that's insane, totally insane. But they walked right by the Pride flag. They didn't say a word about it because, of course, they would offend their hosts. And then they proceeded to have this ridiculous sermon, which just was nothing about Christianity, nothing whatsoever, only about worldly things. What if that sermon instead was, I want to tell you about the way of life. The way of life, because we were made for life. We were made in the image of God to fulfill his purpose. We were made to identify as children of God, not as some sexual persuasion or some gender or some political opinion or ethnic division or anything else. We were called to be one with God. That's what we were born for. Could you imagine if he gave such a sermon? I mean, he'd be run out. And he would be blessed if he did such a thing. But he's not going to do such a thing. So we have to do these things. We have to speak of this. It's only going to get worse in the world to come. You'll see more dominoes falling. And you can say, okay, he's a crazy guy. Father Seraphim is a crazy guy. Go ahead and think I'm crazy. Go ahead. But struggle to be one with God. And if you're struggling to be one with God, you'll see the things that are fragmented. Now, the first place to look for things that are fragmented is in yourself, in myself. I am amazed, maybe I shouldn't be by now, huh? I'm 62 years old. I'm amazed at how often I'm fragmented, right? How I should be praying and I'm not, how I get tired and I shouldn't be, how I have a thought that I know I shouldn't have, how I get demoralized, how all these things happen. That's because I'm not one with myself. I'm not one with the Holy Spirit who does abide in me. But I don't listen enough, so I'm not one with God. Now I'm becoming one with God, and I hope that you are too. That's the whole purpose of your life, is to become one with God. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else whatsoever. And if we have that courage to struggle against the current, because the current in current orthodoxy is not about this. It's not about repentance and becoming one with God. It's about social things and other strange things. Reject all that stuff. Do your prostrations and struggle to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And recognize that the entire purpose of your life is to be integrated, to be whole, to be complete, to be self-sufficient. I don't mean self-sufficient depending upon your human nature and your human wisdom. I don't mean that at all. But I mean that you don't need anyone for emotional and spiritual health. No human being. What you need is the Holy Trinity abiding in you for your spiritual, emotional health. To be self-sufficient in that way. And to be complete. Not to be fragmented. This is what the Lord was praying for. He was saying that he was praying that we would be one with him. Well, to be one with him, we have to be one with ourselves. We have to no longer be fragmented and torn apart by all these contrary ideas, contrary passions and everything else. May God help us to be one. May God help us to be complete. Struggle for this. Now look out in the world too, though, and see that they're not struggling, and reject those things that are not about becoming one with God. Anything that is not about becoming one with God is no good. Well, God bless you. Coming up on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is given so that we can indeed fulfill the intent of our Lord's Prayer, so that it will happen for us, because the Holy Spirit will abide in us and speak into us in groanings which cannot be understood by language, that will be about the deep things of God. And we will eventually no longer be fragmented in the way we act, the things we think, the things we do, the person we are. We'll be a consistent person, a consistent Christian in the image of God. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.